I just wanted to see if the music stopped by itself. It's Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, means it is time for Sports Time Radio. I am the Big Cat, and I know he's there, Dan the Man.
Yes, I am.
So you're not working Friday? Is that what you said?
Oh, you're? I don't know. I'll find out tomorrow night. you know how that works. They won't let me know until about 6 o'clock tomorrow after everyone in the morning left.
Oh, that's a big plus. So you want to call in and talk to Dan and I at 646-478-3753. That'll get you into the studio. We'll bring you in when we can, of course. You can email the show, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Check out the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Boy, I haven't screwed it up in a while. And, of course, when you get there, you should like it. The blog is on WordPress.com. You can search Sports Time Radio, or the links come up all over the place. They are on the Facebook page. They are on my Twitter account at Birth Time, and they are on Dan's Twitter account at
Mantime 8, the Oak Show.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, there. I think, the last vlogs went up on Saturday, so hopefully we'll get some more up there rolling soon. We're still waiting for that running quarterback vlog that I was promised, so we'll see if that gets up there.
Before we get into the other stuff that we kind of talked about, we're going to talk about.
We talked about what we're going to talk about?
Well, I emailed you, so that was me talking. I never got any response, so I guess I was just talking.
I didn't know I was supposed to reply. I'm sorry.
But I don't know, watching the Super Bowl, it kind of seemed like Kaepernick did get his openings to get a couple runs here and there, but it seemed like Baltimore was ready for it. Maybe Jim Harbaugh or the Harbaugh parents, you know. I don't know. I was going somewhere with it, but it's not going to work. So, but I think you get the point. But I was kind of surprised not to see him run as much. Watching him throw the ball, he's got a great arm. It's just, I guess Baltimore was the better team that day. Is that what it just comes down to?
Yeah, sometimes it just kind of works out, how the breaks go your way. And, if you look at it, 108-yard return for a touchdown is a little fluky. So, you don't expect that to happen too often. So, yeah, you just got to, you also don't expect a 34-minute power outage. So, yeah, it was quite the odd game.
Well, I'll just say that we might not have expected a power outage.
Yeah. So, somebody expected it. I did hear apparently the ratings weren't too good. I guess it was down from the last couple of years, which is a little bit of a surprise because the Super Bowl normally does really well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's just the team. Dallas is America's team. And the Patriots are, the team that's always supposed to win, like the Yankees. And maybe the Niners and the Ravens just don't have that great of a national following.
Yeah, but you would think with as much pub as they gave the Ray Lewis stuff, they would have, helped draw, fans in. Then again, you wonder if maybe people just got tired of it like we did.
Yeah, well, and to be honest, a couple of stations in Chicago, that's all they talked about was Ray Lewis. And it just seemed like, I swear to God, they all had a meeting, at one point where they all just regurgitated the same crap for two weeks,
There's only so much you can report, isn't there? I mean, you run out of stuff after a while.
Yeah, but, there was other stuff going on. The Blackhawks and the Bulls are still playing here in Chicago. Hockey and basketball are still going on, and some major networks, other major, I don't want to say networks, what's major cities, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. So, but, here the Hawks are they beat San Jose, so technically they're kind of the best team in Chicago. But if you listen to any sports talk radio in Chicago, you really didn't know. You really didn't know too much.
It's been a weird thing with the Blackhawks. I mean, they actually have, I think they have the best record in the NHL. They're 8-0-2. So
yeah,
they haven't lost a game in regulation yet, only a couple shootouts. Mm-hmm. And, you wouldn't know it by the way anybody's talked about it on the local radio here. I mean, it's strange.
Yeah, and, you know, like I said, you know, we're not going to keep this secret from anyone who listens to us. We would love to be this for our, to be our job, to get paid to do this. So I, in turn, and I'm just like you, you know, we're listening to see what we're not doing to, you know, what we're not doing that is causing us not to be, you know, our job. But it just amazes me because 2 days after the Super Bowl, the one late night radio show, well, all he was talking about was the commercials. So I texted in, you know, that's the beauty though. The beauty of texting today is that you can text a lot of these radio stations and they see
yeah.
you can call in and you're the only person you're going to talk to is, you know, the intern or the production assistant or whatever. But when you text them, they see it. So I texted him and I said, really? You're talking about the commercial? And I got a text back. I got a response back. Yes. So I, you know, I immediately flipped the station, and I was just, you know, kind of, I don't know, just annoyed. Like, really? You get paid to talk about sports, and here you are talking about Super Bowl commercials. How lame can you be?
So, well, luckily I didn't hear that broadcast. You know, like I said, I was probably yelling at some fantasy guy on XM Radio.
Oh yeah. So, I mean,
I'm telling you, I have a problem. I'm like addicted to just yelling at those guys, and I can't help it.
Well, you know,
I'm lucky.
Go ahead.
So, no, I said I'm just lucky they didn't hook the Bluetooth up in my car, so I can't call them on the way home.
Well, you know, the trick with that is you have to be parked to do that. So.
Oh, do you? Okay, yeah, they wanted to hook it up, but I just wasn't that interested in it because I just don't talk on the phone that much.
Yeah,
so,
you know, it would look cool. You know, you're driving down the street, you're just talking, and people pull up next to you like, what is that guy doing? So, but I don't know. That's the way it goes. You know, like I said, I discussed with you, you know, some topics for today, kind of our top 10 Wednesday, I guess you could say.
Well, we didn't really discuss any of these. You just kind of sent them to me. I don't remember there really being a discussion.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, you never responded back, so it was kind of like tweeting Mr. Fantasy.
Well, you never respond back to my formats when I send them out, so I didn't realize there was a reply. I mean, I went and, you know, I actually found that book at a local library. I just have to go get a library card first.
Oh, well, you know, we haven't gotten that far yet. So once you get the book, and because I got to download it too, we'll start reading it and we'll give that guy a call. But if you checked out his website, The Fix Is In, you know, he was on alternative radio this week. That's how I found out about him. And if you just go on his website, thefixedisin.com, I forgot his name.
Yeah, so did I.
He talks about, you know, the four major sports and the three major networks that control everything. So it's pretty interesting. Even if you just go on his website, there's a whole lot of information on there. But did you happen to take a look at the 50 prospects, the top 10?
Of course.
Of course. Oh, well, I guess we could just get started right there. Obviously, you know, the countdown always goes backwards. So.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Well, you know, you got to get the drum roll for number one, except I never uploaded a drum roll.
Okay, I don't know with a drum roll.
Yeah, so, you know, like I sent Big Jack an email, and we decided, you know, or I decided, and he just, I guess, agreed because he did do research. To break down the top 50 prospects, I mean, we're not going to break down the top 50. That's just way too many guys. So I decided, you know, we'll do a top 10. I don't want to throw in there. So we did like a top 12. But my 12th one is actually number 16, Javier Baez. The first rounder of the ninth pick. So I was like, wow, I thought they would have had like the second pick.
All right, where'd Dan go? All right. Well, we seem to have lost Dan. I know he was getting a little choppy there. Yeah. Okay. He's gone. We'll have to wait for him to touch base and get back to us. Okay. There. He's popping back up now. So we'll see if we can get Dan to come back into the show now. There you go. You're back.
My phone just said call failed, and then all of a sudden it called you right back. I didn't even have to do anything.
Yeah, you got real choppy, and then you were gone. So I don't even think we heard the name of the guy. I know he was number 16, and he's a Cub. But.
Okay, here we go. Let's break down our top 12 prospects only. We're not doing 12. Starting with number 16, Javier Baez. He was drafted by the Cubs in 2011, first rounder, ninth pick. He plays shortstop. He bats and throws right. He's a big kid. You know, that's something I don't know if you noticed with your guys, but a lot of the guys that I did 11 through 7, a lot of these guys were all 6 foot. They're all big boys. So it's just now I know why I'm not in the majors. In fact, I didn't play in high school or college. 6'1", 205. He's 20 years old. They say that he hits for power and average. So he might make a great batter, in the majors. But, my question is, with him being a shortstop prospect, they say that he has the ability to move to third. But, talking to you, I remember you said the one thing you know about shortstops is once they're great, they seem to be able to bounce back or any position on the field.
Well, in the infield.
Right? In the infield, okay. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, seeing as the Cubs have Ian Stewart and Valbuena at third base. So he seems like a kid they might want to bring up, but I guess we'll just have to see. And if you choose and you want to, you can follow him on Twitter. He's at Javy23Baez. That's at Javy23Baez. And he is the number 3 overall shortstop prospect. Overall. So we bump up to number 11, Billy Hamilton from the Reds. When I heard about this guy, I was kind of really excited to hear about him because he sounds like a lot of fun. He's got a lot of speed, but it cracked me up because he's the only guy who's 6'1", but he's about 160. So I would love to be able to see this guy in person because, I'm 5'10", 215, and I just can't imagine he's got to be a bag of bones, being that tall. He was drafted in 2009 in the second round by the Reds and is considered the fastest man in baseball. Last year, he had a record 155 stolen bases in the minor leagues. So I think that's pretty damn amazing. I should have checked to see who, what the breakdown is, but 155 stolen bases in a year. And I know it's the minors, but I would love to see how that translates into the majors. So, I'm going to keep track of these guys, try to keep track of them as best I can throughout the season, I'm sure just like you will. But the biggest thing they said about him was he needs to improve his plate discipline. So I guess, being able to draw some more walks and things like that. When you hear plate discipline, I just immediately think he's just swinging. Again, you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at B_Ham, H-A-M_3. And he is the number 3 overall outfield prospect. And an interesting thing, he's the only person that I know defuncts, the theory. He started off as a shortstop and has moved to center field. And with the Reds having, I can't think of his name, at Batman, Brandon Phillips. Is he their leadoff on the Reds? I can't remember.
Yeah, it depends. Sometimes.
But they say that, Jonathan Mayo, he is the man who is MLB.com's draft and prospect expert. He says he looks like he'd be a great possible leadoff hitter, so I guess we'll see what the Reds have in store. It'll be interesting to see. I kind of hope we get to see a couple of these guys in the first month. I know if we don't see them throughout the season, they'll be in there at the end of the season come September. So moving on to number 10, the Tyler Skaggs from the Diamondbacks. He's a left-handed pitcher. He came over to Arizona in the Dan Heron trade in 2010. So he was the 40th round overall draft pick in 2009 for the Angels. He said, they say he has, Jonathan says he has excellent command of all his pitches and is the top prospect in the Diamondback system. So being that, I can only assume that he will be pitching for the Diamondback this season. I guess he pitched a couple of games last season. But again, another young kid, 21 years old, 6'3", 195, and he is overall the number one left-handed pitching prospect out there. And here's another one. You want to follow him on Twitter, at TylerSkaggs37. Tyler, TylerSkaggs37. I don't know why I wanted to say D-L-E-G. Sounds like a good one. Number nine on the list, Garrett Cole. He's a right-hander from Pittsburgh. He pitched UCLA, has an easy 98-mile-an-hour fastball with a plus slider to go along with it. His curveball and changeup combo isn't as great as a fastball-slider combo, but it still, I guess it still gets guys out. He is the first overall by Pirates in 2011. I mean, you know, overall, they were that good of a team. So he's been able to hit triple digits on his fastball, but has a lot of trouble when he hangs it up in the zone. So, you know, I think if he can control it and get some command, it'll be interesting with the Pirates to see what they do. I'm getting excited for baseball, so we'll see if we see this kid come up. Being a Cubs fan and being local, I'm sure playing the Pittsburgh Pirates, we'll see him. And one of the facts that I found interesting, he had the highest signing bonus in Major League Baseball history. So he must be a great prospect. But oddly enough, he's the number five overall right-hand pitcher. At 22 years old, he stands at 6'4", 220. So he's a big boy. So depending on the height of that mound, you're going to have a guy just barreling down on you. I know it won't be Randy Johnson style, but he's pretty far up there. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at Garrett, that's @GERRIT_Cole. Number eight, we have Zach Wheeler, prospect from the Mets. He's a right-handed pitcher, and he bats left. I found that kind of odd, to be honest. I've heard of left-handed guys batting right, or left-handed throwers batting right, but whatever. He's 22 years old, stands at 6'4", 185. So he's not, he's got the height. He's not as big as Garrett Cole. But oddly enough, he is the number four overall right-handed pitching prospect. So it's kind of weird there. You want to follow him on Twitter, it's at WheelPro45. That's W-H-E-E-L Pro. Oh, okay. Play off his name. 45. The San Francisco Giants. The Giants drafted him number six overall in 2009, and he was signed for $3.3 million. But with their pitching rotation, I guess it was better to move him out back then, and he was moved over to the Mets in the 2011 trade for Carlos Beltran, which I keep forgetting that he played on that team. So, but number seven, we have Jose Fernandez. If you haven't heard about this guy, he's kind of got an interesting story. I wasn't sure as a kid. He's only 20 years old, but he tried to defect from Cuba about four times. He actually sat in jail for over a year. You heard all that. He sat in jail for over a year just to, come and play baseball. I don't want to say that. But, kind of a great story for him. He's in the Miami Marlins system, so I'm sure, and I don't mean to be a jerk, I'm sure he will not be in that system much longer the way the Marlins have been. But he's the number three overall right-handed pitcher. He was the first rounder in 2011, number 14 by the Marlins. He's 20 years old. He's at 6'3", 215. So he's got great size, great right-handed pitcher, so it'll be interesting to see this guy again. His minor league record last year, 2012, he went 14-1 in two leagues with a combined 1.75 ERA for 134 innings. So very impressive numbers. Again, I know that, the minor league and not everything transfers over into the majors, but, depending on how that league, the East, plays out next season, he could stand a pitch great over there. His opponents only hit two home runs and had a total combined of 191 batting average, and he only gave up 35 walks. So he looks like a great prospect. Maybe the Cubs should be calling the Marlins if they grab him off their hands. Even though Theo said he likes, you know, the new pitching system. So, hey, so now we're bumping up to Big Jack with number 6.
Oh, let's see. Well, I didn't look up anybody's Twitter address, so I don't know how to follow anybody on Twitter. But at 6, we have Travis. Did you give me all the hard names to pronounce? Was that the setup here? You gave me Travis Dinald, who is a catcher, which is always important. That's why these guys rank higher. He was the main factor in the R.A. Dickey deal. The Mets had to get him from Toronto to make the deal. They traded their starting catcher Josh Tolley in the deal. So Dinald should start for the Mets this year.
Oh, wow.
He's been compared highly to Buster Posey. So if he has any bit of that talent or that type of ability, he's going to be just fine. With the Mets rebuilding, he should get plenty of chances to play. He is coming off a knee surgery, which, of course, is a huge deal for a catcher. So you got to kind of make sure he's ready to go before they, throw him out there full time. But if he's not ready to go by April, I would say, by the time May or late May or early June rolls around, he should have the job full time. I'll be shocked if he doesn't. So, look for him to be there. The difficult part about this is I have to do it on my phone as we do this, and the screen keeps going blank because it just keeps disappearing on me. So at number 5, we have, I'm telling you, you set me up with these names. It's got to be Tijon Walker, who is a prospect in the Seattle, I almost called him the Seahawks. You can tell it was almost football season. Seattle Mariners organization. He's another tall, I'm guessing kind of skinny pitcher at 6'4", 210. Since Dan outweighs him, I'm guessing if he's actually 6'4", that's going to be a Pedro Martinez type of look there. But being only 20 years old, he'll have a chance to fill out. He was a two-sport athlete in high school. Nowadays, it seems like everybody's a hard thrower, so you just kind of assume he's a hard thrower, and you're going to see a lot of gas when he's there. It doesn't look like he'll be in the Mariner rotation this year unless there's a bunch of injuries or anything. So expect him to spend another year in the whole year in the minors, maybe a September call up. But don't look for him. Too soon in the Mariners. Maybe next year. He's probably about a year away the way they're talking about him. So we'll see how he goes. We jump to number 4, and these are all Dan's rankings, by the way, just so you know. Dan did all this. He gave me an easy name here. Will Myers, who is now with Tampa Bay, he was part of the James Shields trade. I know there were a lot of people actually complaining when this trade was made because they thought the Royals could have gotten a lot more for Myers than what they did. The main factor in that trade was James Shields. I believe, Myers is supposed to have huge power. Again, we haven't seen him do it on the major league level. He did hit, I believe it was 37 home runs in the Royals minor leagues last year. So that's a big minor league total for everybody. Going to Tampa Bay, he's going to get a shot to play probably every day. I'm guessing he's probably going to get a lot of DHing done because I know they were worried about him defensively and where they were going to find a spot for him to play. I know a lot of people have talked about first base. So we'll see if they find a spot for him somewhere. With a bat like that, he was kind of the guy in waiting in Kansas City. So moving over to Tampa Bay, they're real good with their young talent. They'll find a spot for him. And, look for Myers somewhere on the field for them as this year breaks out. Next on Dan's list here, the St. Louis prospect is Oscar Taveras. And, the best way you can kind of describe him, and you honestly don't really even need to go any farther when you're talking about him, is everything I read or saw on him, the term that comes up all the time is young Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
So I don't even know if you need to go any farther with it. He's a right fielder. The odd knock for some reason is they were saying it's just he's got average power. So I don't know if they expect him to blossom, but yeah, you know, the again, once I read the term young Barry Bonds, I just kind of stopped, you know, reading on it, because you can make your own developments from there. I mean, if he's anywhere close to what Bond was in a Pirate uniform, he's going to be a star, and, you know, the Cardinals are going to have him for years in their organization. You know, it's just, again, it's just another team that, you know, can develop their own players when they need them. So, you know, we'll have to see if they have a spot for him. You know, if he has a good spring, I won't be surprised if he comes with them, you know, at the start of the year. So it'll be interesting. Number two on Dan's list is Dylan Bundy, who is, I believe, if I'm reading this right, Dan made him all of 19. He's a pitcher in the Orioles system. He did pitch for the Orioles a little bit last year, but as young as he is, nobody, you know, from what I've read and what I've heard, nobody's sure if they're going to bring him with them at the start of the season this year. It may be a deal where they leave him in the minors to stay on his regular rotation, as they put it. And then, you know, he'll come up in, you know, late May or early June if there's a spot for him. You know, that's always the difficult thing with these guys. When they're this young, you want to keep them, you know, on their rotation. And, of course, as we, you know, kind of harp about all the time when you mention young pitchers, they're going to watch his innings. And I know we hate that term. So, you know, they don't want to rush him. He's only going to be 20. You know, you don't want to have him get hurt, or you hope he doesn't get hurt. But, you know, he came up last year, and, you know, again, at that age, he didn't do great. But, you know, through the system, you know, he was 9-3 through three of their leagues. So, you know, he's been able to put up numbers. You know, again, the big drawback with Bundy will be his age. So we'll have to see how the Orioles handle him, and if they kind of kid glove him a la the way the Nationals have done with, you know, the stuff that Dan and I bitch about all the time. So, and finally, at number one, Dan got me with the names again here. So he has, I believe, I actually heard this on the radio pronounced, it's Jerkson Profar, who is a prospect in the Texas Rangers organization. Oddly enough, I just heard on what I always complain about on Sirius Radio, that the Rangers are going to start him in the minor leagues. Basically, their big drawback is they don't know what position they want to use him at. Rumor is second base, but they don't. The thing they said that was reported is the Rangers aren't ready to move Ian Kinsler. So Profar does not have a position, even though I know he played some outfield last year. You know, he is the classic, as they say, five-tool prospect. So, you know, it's just a matter of when the Rangers deem him necessary, you know, bring him up and plug him in and see what he can do. I really thought when they moved Michael Young to Philadelphia, the reason they did it was opening a spot for Profar to play. You know, they also, Josh Hamilton also signed with Anaheim. So I thought they had a couple spots where they might be able to plug this kid in. But, you know, if the reports are true that I heard, he's going to start in the minors, and, you know, we'll have to see if he makes it up. But I have a feeling, you know, again, it may be one of those situations where Texas wants to, I guess, quote-unquote, stop his free agent clock from starting. So they'll bring him up later, you know, they'll bring him up later, kind of a la what the Cubs did with Anthony Rizzo last year. The reason they're not on the team from the beginning of the year is they can push them back in free agency a year. So I think this has more to do with it than his actual talent, because he homered in his first plate appearance last season when they brought him up. You know, everybody's seen him play now. They know he's got the talent to be at a major league level. So to leave him in the minors is, you know, when it comes to critics and everything, it's kind of a joke because everybody knows he's ready for the majors. So the, you know, well, we don't have a position for him excuse is a little lame, especially in the American League where you have a DH. So you could find spots and at-bats for this kid if you wanted him to. And, you know, that actually gets us through our top 12 prospects that Dan picked for us to talk about. He did a much better job than I did, I have to admit, because he was able to tell you where to find him on Twitter. So
hey, that was right on the MLB.com prospect. I did all my research, and then I looked, because I think my last one, Fernandez, I believe he was the only one who didn't, which, you know, knowing, hearing about his situation, you can understand why. But yeah, when I got to Zach Wheeler, I was like, wait a minute, this kid's on Facebook, or this kid's on Twitter? It kills me that I say that, this kid, you know, getting told.
You know, I'm sure they're all on Twitter now. I know you were talking about Fernandez, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about him. They were talking about him on the Fantasy Report today, and he's another guy they're going to leave in the minors to start the season to keep him on his rotation, and then they're going to attempt to bring him up. Apparently, Ricky Nolasco is on the trading block, so he's the guy slotted to take Nolasco's spot when they move him.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that, you know, apparently I wasn't yelling at the radio when all that was going on, so
yeah,
we're okay.
Well, apparently, I forgot to save the list of the top 10 hated athletes, most disliked athletes, according to Forbes.
I knew a couple of them, but let's while you try to remember them, let's get through. Since it's, you know, a little after 8:30, let's get through Hard in the Paint here. All right, let's get our NBA scores rolling here. Late in the fourth quarter, looks like there's about a minute to go. The Boston Celtics have a 3-point lead, 94-91 over the Toronto Raptors. We got, looks like, four finals for you here right away. The Indiana Pacers defeated the Philadelphia 76ers 88-69. The Washington Wizards got a 10-point win over the New York Knicks 106-96. The LA Clippers, even with all their injuries, defeated the Orlando Magic 86-76. The Cleveland Cavaliers put up 122 points, beating the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte Bobcats. They'll be the Hornets next year. I still can't get used to that. 122-95. Fourth quarter action. Atlanta is up on Memphis 82-66. In the third, Miami is up on Houston 87-81. More fourth quarter action. Detroit is up on the Brooklyn Nets 73-69. Early in the third quarter, the New Orleans Hornets, yes, they're still the Hornets, have a 1-point lead, 54-53 over the Phoenix Suns. It's halftime. Oklahoma City has a 67-49 lead over the Golden State Warriors. Where are we now? Second quarter, Portland has a 2-point lead, 45-43 over the Dallas Mavericks. Very early in the game, Minnesota has a 4-2 lead over Utah. And the one game that hasn't started, I believe, is actually the four-letter network game tonight. It is the San Antonio Spurs taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. And while we jump from one frame to the other here, as we switch over and start to look at our NHL scores here. Very limited schedule in the NHL tonight, only three games. Boston and Montreal are tied at one right now. Looks like they're in the third quarter. Anaheim and Colorado are 0-0. They're just really getting underway. They're right into the first quarter. And there is one late start. It is Dallas at Edmonton tonight. So there you go. We got through all our scores, and you're all caught up. So there we are.
Hey, that's how it goes. Yeah, I don't remember. All I remember is Jay Cutler was number four on this list that Forbes made. If you happen, you know, if you're on the web, you're on Facebook, and you go over to Sports Time Radio's page, I believe I posted it on there. Could be wrong. But I did tweet it. I did tweet it at Mantime8. So if you just go through my tweet, I tweeted a bunch of stuff today. I don't know if you caught any of the stuff I tweeted, but I was just, it was amazing. There's so much stuff going on, and I forgot to take my notes.
I remember Manti Te'o was number two on that list.
Oh, That's where I guess, you know, it was kind of funny. I think those are the two guys. Well, Lance Armstrong was number one, of course, right?
Yeah, Lance Armstrong was one.
It just cracked me up. And the only reason I picked this topic up was I got home last night and I was able to watch the conclusion of the Hawks-Sharks game, which was a pretty exciting game. I missed some of it, so I was amazed that when I hopped in the car, it was the start of the second period, and all of a sudden it's all tied up. So it was a great game. I've talked about this. You've talked about it. I've never been much of a hockey guy, and until watching the Stanley Cup last season, I was like, wow, this is a lot of fun. So I'm really excited. I'm really getting into it. So I just wish I was, got to watch a little bit more. But I did download the WGN app so that I can catch all the Hawks games. Hey, how do you like that? So, but anyways, after that, you know, my favorite guy, he always teased me about it, David Kaplan and his crew had a post-game show. I don't even know if it was a post-game or pre-recorded before that, but they brought up this list. And I normally wouldn't talk about it, but the one guy on there, I don't know who the hell he was, he brought up a very interesting fact. A lot of guys out there have done a lot worse things than Jay Cutler and Monte Teo. I mean, I think he duped the whole country. And they said that this list was produced or made up before it all came out. So they didn't like it before, I guess.
Well, here, I pulled it up here. It's Lance Armstrong is number one. Teo is two. Tiger Woods is number three. We mentioned Cutler at four. Meta World Peace, who of course used to be Ron Artest, is number five. Alex Rodriguez is number six. Michael Vick is number seven. Kurt Busch is number eight, which is odd for a NASCAR driver to be there. Kobe is number nine, and they only have the top ten. Tony Romo is number ten.
Yeah. Which I was a little surprised by Romo. What did he do?
Well, you know, Romo's problem is he's the quarterback on America's team and they haven't won anything. And, you know, when you're the quarterback, you know the old saying, you get too much credit, you get too much blame.
Yeah.
You know, but what I found interesting about some of the stuff is, like, Teo is at two and Cutler is at four. A lot of those other guys, I mean, down to about seven or eight, everybody else had broken some type of law.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, why does everybody hate Jay Cutler? I mean, I get it. He comes off as a D-bag sometimes. But, you know, I mean, how does that portray to being hated?
Yeah. Well, if this poll was done in Chicago or maybe even Denver, I don't know how Denver feels about him, but I think you'd get a 50-50 on, you know, people liking Cutler and people not liking him. But I mean, Ron Artest, you know, jumped in the crowd and beat up fans.
Yeah.
unfortunately for Jay Cutler, you know, as I'm understanding football a little bit more over these, you know, especially doing the show with you and Mr. Fantasy, with Jay Cutler, I know that the coach doesn't make all the plays and call them all. The offensive coordinator does. But still, when you have a defensive-minded coach, maybe it doesn't work out as well as much as you want it to, whatever. But I just, it kind of baffled me because Jay Cutler, I was like, I'm not a huge fan of him. I think he was a little hyped up more, you know, a little bit more hyped than anything. But I was like, what does this guy really do? He hasn't really done anything. I mean, do they hate him because he got, Chris Cavallari? Is that it?
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, figure it out myself. I mean, I'm not against him being on the list. You know, I could see him being one of the top 10 hated athletes. But the fact that he is that high is what baffles me.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, there's plenty of other guys you could throw up there. And I'm really shocked that he, well, him and Teo, you know, because, like, the more stuff that came out about the Manti Te'o stuff, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
You know, but yet now everybody hates him because he got catfished. So...
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I expected, you know, above Cutler, I would expect even Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Barry Bonds. You know, I know these
guys.
Well,
I think those guys have been gone long enough.
Oh, okay.
You know, and then I was wondering maybe if they just did it, you know, if you had to be active for it to count, because I wonder where some of those guys were. Of course, I guess technically Lance Armstrong's not an active athlete either, so.
No, yeah.
You know, yeah, I would kind of like to know how they polled it. You know, like they said it was a Nielsen e-poll. So, I don't know, you know, it could have just been any random, you know, anybody random running into this poll, you know, because I didn't even know about it or else I would have voted.
Yeah, well, you know, and you wonder, too, I guess, how that poll went down, so to speak, you know. Maybe you were just kind of given names. I mean, you know, we're not stupid. There's that law, that game show law out there, you know, the quarterback wins, but... I mean, you and I both know it's easy to manipulate. You just put the names in a certain order in a kind of a way
that
you can kind of get people to vote a certain way. But, you know, it's just surprising because Jay Cutler, on a if it's a national poll, on a national level, that's why I just don't understand why people wouldn't like him that much.
I'm in the same boat you are. I'm like, is he really that popular nationally? I could see in Chicago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, in Chicago, he'd probably be number one. But, yeah, I mean, to come off number four nationally, I was shocked.
And, you know, it's not just because we're Bear fans. Well, you like the Seahawks, and I like Vikings a little bit, too. And I was a bandwagon jumper for the 49ers, but... when I heard that, you know, that was like one of those fun things that they were talking about last night. But, you know, when I pulled it up, I'm like, man, really? Jay Cutler, number four nationally. Because honestly, when I heard the Bears traded for Jay Cutler, I was like, it's a bodybuilder? But I guess most people don't know about bodybuilding, so they wouldn't know who he was anyway.
Oh, yeah, you could have talked about the WBF for all we cared there, you know. I think the only bodybuilder's name I may have recognized would have you said Lee Haney. I would have recognized that. So.
Hey, I can list a lot of them, but,
I think that says more about you than it does us, okay? I want you to know that. But, yeah, you know, before I forget here, and, you know, I tweeted about this yesterday to you, and you agreed with me. I'm assuming I'm not going to get my apology Friday from Mr. Fantasy. But did you hear the Ryan Braun cop-out for him being involved with that Miami clinic was he was just getting a consultation from that doctor. And the reason his name appeared is because they had a discrepancy over payment. Braun felt he was overcharged.
Well, I don't know. I read the official Ryan Braun statement. I tweeted a couple of those stories today earlier. But you're right, it was along the consultation line because of the HGH thing that he was accused of last year. So it's just, I mean... Ryan Braun in 20 years, he's no longer, obviously, he won't be playing baseball. Well, can he be president? I mean, Barack Obama, I don't mean to get all political, but Obama said, you know, we're not going to get new taxes and our payroll tax is going up, you know. I'm not making that much money as it is. So, I mean, do you see Ryan Braun as a great politician in the future?
You know, it's starting to look like it, isn't it? I mean, he's found ways to get himself out of these things and, you know, he knows... I mean, he really knows what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. And, again, if you go on our Sports Time Radio page, they need a love button, just a big heart, so you can love it. I don't want you to just like it. But I tweeted the story. It's from an interesting newspaper. It's the Miami New Times. And when you pull up the Miami New Times, across the top, they're advertising the Erotic Review. Go figure. That's the one thing that baffled me about that article. I had to bring it up, but it baffled me about that article. But this is like the article. A lot of them, you know, you've got Yahoo Sports. They put together a great article. But this article that I posted on Sports Time Radio Facebook gives you the breakdown and a lot more about Anthony Bosch and his involvement.
Yeah.
I haven't finished reading it all because it's actually a pretty detailed, involved article. They give you the history on this guy. And, so Ryan Braun's around him. Two of those guys on the list, he played with for the University of Miami, the Hurricanes.
Were they there at the same time?
Yeah. MLB.com or MLB Network had a special on yesterday. It was supposed to be – it said something else. The title, I was supposed to watch something else about the future of the sport. But apparently the Ryan Braun statement, really, you know, the whole steroids and the South Florida thing is taking precedence over everything. And on the MLB Network, they showed two pictures of Ryan Braun and those two teammates actually on the same team. And one of the guys, I think it was Valencia, is that the name? God, I have the names right here. Danny Valencia?
Yeah.
And I believe he traveled with and roomed with Ryan Braun when they were in college.
Oh, okay. Was he named? I didn't see his name in the probe. Was he one of the guys named?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the article you sent me, when I pulled it up on the link on my phone, it only came up as about three lines.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you need to send me this in-depth article, because trust me, I'm the guy who wants to check this out.
Oh, yeah. Well,
now you know Major League Baseball has contacted that newspaper trying to see if they'll turn over their information to them on how they found out about this and all that so they can investigate. And, you know, this could turn into a lot depending on what they could find out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the feel I got from the MLB Network and the guys, one of the journalists, he's definitely a baseball guy, but he's still a journalist. And, you know, he made a great point that the newspaper probably will, but the newspaper is the one, they were given all this paperwork from a former employee of the clinic.
Okay.
It's an anti-aging clinic. Like, I had no clue about these things. Like, this dude, seriously, Anthony Bosch, is a complete scam artist. Is basically what it comes down to. He, you know, after this whole situation is done and over with, you are going to see a network special on him on some channel, Biography Channel, A&E, one of those channels. They're going to do one on him. If the MLB Network doesn't do one, everyone's going to do one on him. It's going to be one of those shows. I don't think it'll be huge publicity, but everyone in the sports world is going to watch it. I mean, we're not just talking about baseball guys. Once we get off air, I'll send you the thing. But oddly enough, you know, three of the names, Cabrera, Melky, Bartolo Colon.
I want you to know why you can't send it to me now.
Oh, because I've got Verizon and they don't allow you to surf the web and talk on the phone.
You realize I do that to you every time you tell me that, don't you?
Yeah. Well, in two years, if this doesn't change. Yeah, I'm going back to AT&T.
Well, now, did you hear Gio Gonzalez's excuse on how they got his name?
No, I got to hear this one.
I thought this was fantastic. They got his name because Gio's father went to see Dr. Bosch about weight loss. That was fantastic. I don't think I've ever heard a better excuse in my life. Let's blame it on my father.
Well, his dad probably told him, Gio, just blame it on me.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
Yeah, well, and oddly enough, I mean, you'll never guess who Bosch is linked to also. A former 50-game suspended guy a couple times, Manny Ramirez.
Oh yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I'm sure if they can go in and get all his names, we're going to see a lot of guys from, you know, probably baseball and football come out that have had issues.
Oh, I mean, you know, and it's not just, you know, our you know, America's major sports. On one of these lists was Wayne, oh, I don't even know how to say his last name, Oceanic. He's a pro tennis player.
Oh, okay, yeah. That, you know, none of that surprises me, so.
You know, and then Cuban boxer Yorokis Gamboa. Unfortunately, boxing doesn't have the highlights that
well,
he used to, so.
To be fair, this may be legal in Cuba, so we don't know about that.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well, you know, maybe he defected, because how did he get to, you know, you never know. But, you know, you were speaking about the Texas Rangers number one draft pick, and no, he did not get linked to this list, but another position possibly could open up on the Rangers outfield, because Nelson Cruz was also linked to this, you know, linked to Bosch.
Yeah, that's right. Cruz's name did come up. He was one of the guys. I know I did see the NBA put out a statement. I haven't heard any basketball players' names come out yet, but they just put out a statement that they will begin testing for HGH next season.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that I think this kind of prompted them to jump on, you know, the bandwagon here and kind of be like, hey, you know, let's be proactive before something pops out about us.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and Bosch has been under investigation by the DEA, so... And apparently his shop, you know, his place closed down. I mean, he didn't just give these guys steroids. And, you know, some people out there are going to say, oh, you know, how did this really affect me? But Bosch didn't, you know, he did this to these guys and provided them with that. But he also got investors to invest in him on other failed projects. There was a woman who took out a mortgage on her own house. Ended up getting sued and had to pay every single penny back of it. It was like upwards of almost 80 grand, I think, 60 to 80 grand. So, you know, but if you look at him, you see a picture of Anthony Bosch, you see him and you can just picture, you know, he's got to be a smooth talker and he knows how to work it. So, you know, him
yeah,
and his dad were involved in.
I haven't seen any photos of him, but yeah, I'm interested to, I've been waiting for him to release a statement or, you know, call a press conference or something, but I haven't heard anything from him yet.
Oh, yeah. He released a statement through his lawyer through, I believe it was the New York Times, that, you know, he made some fly statement. Just saying that he's not, basically that he wasn't linked to A-Rod. I guess it's the only guy he cares about. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just kind of crazy because it's hard to keep up with some of it because there was just so much stuff on this guy. You know, anyone out there, you just Google Anthony Bosch, that's B-O-S-C-H, and tons of stuff comes up. But, you know, like I said, I'll email you this article as soon as we're off air.
Okay, now, just to be clear, do you want me to respond to the email or not?
Well, no, this is just an article.
Okay, I just want to make sure, you know. I mean, I felt like you were a little rough on me for not replying to the other one. So, you know. And while I'm thinking about it, even though it's completely off the subject, we are, if you're planning on listening Friday night, we're going to debut a new game on Sports Time Radio. So that will be very exciting. We're going to call it True or False, and Dan and Mr. Fantasy are going to play it. So, you know, tune in to listen to that. I will give more details on it as we go. So, but, yeah, we will probably play that in the, you know, probably after we go hard in the paint on Friday night. So you will have to be prepared to play a new game.
Oh, I didn't even – I must have missed that email.
I didn't send the email out yet. It was going to come out – it's coming out in the format on Friday. So – I told Mr. Fantasy about it yesterday, and I knew I'd have you here today, so I wanted to make sure I told you. So, yeah, you will have to be mentally prepared to play True or False on Friday.
Well, obviously we're running out of time here, but, you know, when the whole Ryan Braun thing happened and he, you know, was, you know, the way it went down, everything worked out in his favor, and everyone kind of believed and, he's very eloquent and everything, you know, it's kind of smooth. And you didn't believe, I don't think you bought it for a second. I don't think you bought it at all. And I bought it. No, and I know you don't. And I bought it. You know, I bought it. I'm not going to lie. But on the MLB Network special last night, Billy Ripken, he was one of the guys on there, him and Mitch Williams. But Billy Ripken, or one of the two, Mitchie or Billy, said that they kind of threw this out there. They're like, you know, he never denied the test. And, I never thought about that fact.
Yeah.
That he just talked about the situation and how it was handled. He never denied anything. So I found that very interesting. So, kind of my eyes lit up.
It was a very Jason Giambi type denial. So, but yeah, it is,
And Ripken made a great point, and I really like this. And he made the best point you can make. Today, with the way sports are, especially with baseball, any of the sports, but, obviously they're talking about baseball, you don't need to go anywhere. You don't. The team's got a nutritionist, a strength and conditioning coach. They have everything.
Yep.
And if you go somewhere else, you're probably not going somewhere else for, something legal.
So, it's painfully obvious. I mean, they don't have anything you don't need,
Yeah.
I mean, there's everything there, and if not, then I would start looking into those guys because something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great point. Who brought that up?
Billy Ripken.
Oh, he is a genius.
I know. I'll be watching, starting on the MLB Network, starting February 15th, they will do 30 clubs in 30 days. They're actually starting with the Cubs this year. But that's one of the cool things watching.
Wait, are they starting with the Cubs because they go from the worst team to the best team, or how does that work out?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Well, last year they ended with the Boston Red Sox. You would think it would be the Astros, then the Cubs, but, everyone knows the Cubs because they're kind of a national team, so everyone will watch it. But, that's one of the cool things about that series is they bring you inside the clubhouse for spring training. You get to see everything. You get to see the facilities and all the stuff they have to offer these guys. So, Billy Ripken made a great point. They have everything you could possibly need. You don't need to go anywhere else to get this other stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, oddly, I know a little off-topic sports-wise, but today, and I'm sure everybody knows, is National Signing Day, where, the four-letter network tries to turn high school players who we won't see for a couple years into big stars. But they had Pat Fitzgerald on, one of the local stations. And he was talking about how they've upgraded the facilities at Northwestern because, that it's very important that they be able to compete with, all these other big-time schools, even though really, if you're going to Northwestern, you're pretty much going there to get a degree. He made a big point out of, the facilities being top-notch because you've got to be able to show a recruit that. So, I could just imagine with an unlimited budget what a professional locker room would look like.
Oh, yeah.
It would just have to be, freaking amazing.
Honestly, the Rockies and I believe the Diamondbacks, I can't remember, but the Rockies, they do their spring training camp. It's called Talking Sticks in Arizona. And if you've seen the facilities, Giambi even said, He goes, I don't want to leave. He goes, I love it here. He goes, some of the guys tell their wives they got to go to work early just so they can come hang out. They got leather sofas, hot tubs, big screen TVs. I mean, this place is awesome. I want a vacation and stay there. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, I would probably never leave. So.
No. that's why I'm not on the MLB Network, because if they sent me there, I would never leave.
or if I was a player, I would just show up early every year. I'd be like, I'm a month early, no big deal.
Yeah, I'd be there in January. Oh, wow. No, tonight is like any other night. It's fly.
Tonight's the beginning of your what?
Said tonight is good night. It's fly by. Our show. Goodbye.
No, you're starting to break up again. This is the problem we had with you last time. So,
all right.
Yeah. But it's a good time for you to start to break up because it's time for you and I to go anyways. Because the end of the show. So we will all be back Friday, depending on if Dan is working or not. So you can hit him up on Twitter at Mantime8 to find out. He'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
So let me say goodbye to everybody while I scroll down and find the music here.
All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. Keep listening and like this.